The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. This is Sam Stone sitting in for Seth this afternoon. Folks, I want to thank Kim George, candidate for Arizona's Congressional District 1, for joining us last hour. But in this next hour, I want to talk a little bit about the results from yesterday. Obviously, Super Tuesday, very interesting. Clearly, I think it's a good thing that we've had now Nikki Haley withdraw from the field, clear the field for Donald Trump. At the end of the day, folks, it's been very clear for several months that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee. And it does no good for our party to continue this interparty warfare that's been going on, to continue these conflicts. I think it's critically important for us to get together and look forward to the future. You may not love Donald Trump. You may not love some of the Trump-endorsed candidates. But at the end of the day, the vast chasm between what those folks will do and what Joe Biden with a Democrat Senate and a Democrat Congress would do is just unbelievable. It's really hard for me these days as I see what's going on across this country to understand Democrats. I used to understand them pretty well. The Clinton-era Democrats, you know, you could disagree with them and certainly did in plenty of areas. But their policies weren't antithetical to America. They weren't antithetical to Americans. They weren't tearing down this country. They weren't trying to destroy it. And yet now that's what it seems like we have. We have a Democrat Party that is dedicated to open borders, that is dedicated to tearing down the rule of law, that is out doing everything they can to destroy the norms across this country, from our social and sexual norms to our political norms to our international relations. They are starting wars. It's really a bizarre theory of governance or direction that they're taking, because it makes no sense. I can't even come to heads or tails of this. So fortunately, we're past that, and it is time for folks to unite. One thing I mentioned with Kim on the air here earlier was that Donald Trump as a political phenomenon exists largely because traditional Republicans campaigned for 30 years on things they never tried to do, much less did. You know, we all remember John McCain's sort of famous thumbs down at getting rid of Obamacare. But that was actually one of the rare cases when Republicans even tried to do the things they had campaigned on. They have never tried to secure the border. They have never tried to address the problems with our schools, violence in the inner cities. They haven't done the, you know, protect American workers, fix foreign trade deals. Donald Trump ran on a lot of things the first time, and he's running again, a very issues forward campaign for those who care to listen. And he actually did them. He went after his campaign promises one after another, like he was going down a checklist. It was a honey-do list. America gave Donald Trump a honey-do list, and the man, like a good husband, started going after it one item at a time, checking it off. Better, let's be honest, better than most of the husbands out there, guys. We know what this looks like. That honey-do list is lucky if it's half done at the end of the day. Donald Trump was getting it done. So now he is the nominee once again. I have to admit, I was a little surprised at Vermont. Young David in the studio, we're talking about this during the break. I thought it was interesting because David brought up that Vermont has been a traditional bastion of sort of liberal republicanism. I said, you know, yeah, it's also been a bastion of libertarian republicanism. If you are a libertarian-leaning Republican, how the heck do you vote for Nikki Haley?
Well, I think a lot of voters manifest what they want a candidate to be, whether or not that candidate, he or she, truly believes that certain way into that candidate when they pull the lever at the ballot box.
I think that is a crucial insight, because Look, I think there's lots of good things about Nikki Haley. I'm not one of the folks who's here to bash her. I'm not here to bash any Republican. As I say all the time, we have to come together. We have to unite. Our primaries are for the fighting, and generals are for coming together and beating the Democrats.
Generals are for winning.
Yes. Thank you. That's much better than what I said, David. You know, but at the end of the day, you're talking about someone who's a very militant neocon and got support of a lot of very libertarian folks, which is really baffling to me because of all the presidents in my lifetime, Donald Trump is the only one who didn't start a war. Not one other president has not started a war in my lifetime. It's really sort of astounding. I'm 48 years old, and here we are. This country is never not engaged in shooting at somebody somewhere, which frankly is a really, really poor thing for the world. Our aim and selectivity in some of those conflicts has been incredibly questionable. But there is also – I want to shift gears a little bit here, especially heading into the next segment here. I want to talk a little bit about something that's going on and sort of this inter-party conflict that we're seeing, the changing of the guard, because I think it was really evident. I think Vermont was the vote of the old guard Republicans being one of the rare cases when they won the primary now. And something happened in Texas that is the exact opposite. So for those who were not paying attention – Texas has been having an inter-party squabble. Texas, you quite frankly have a lot of very soft Republicans, maybe who would be Democrat in a different situation, who run as Republicans because otherwise they know they're not going to have any power. And one of the things that's been happening is a giant fight over school choice. For those who've been paying attention, you had a bunch of Republicans who have spiked school choice in the state of Texas repeatedly, including Dade Phelan. And last night, Dade Phelan, for those folks who don't know, has traditionally been seen as one of the one of the three most powerful people in the state of Texas. And yet now he finds himself – he's the House Speaker. He finds himself in a runoff for his seat against a Republican challenger endorsed by Ken Paxton. And a lot of this comes down to the way Ken Paxton, the state attorney general, was targeted in various, you know, really quite frankly ridiculous attacks by the legislature, aiding a bunch of activist liberal judges. And so you had this sort of very interesting conflict between the governor, Greg Abbott, some of the lawmakers that he was supporting, and the attorney general. Paxton, who was supporting a lot of more grassroots heavy candidates. The grassroots candidates had a big night last night in Texas, a big night. 9 incumbent House Republicans who were targeted by either Abbott or Paxton lost their primaries on Tuesdays. 8 others, including the House Speaker Dade Phelan, have been forced to compete in runoffs at the end of May. And so this is a really interesting shift that's going on in the Republican Party. And we've seen it here in Arizona. We saw it perhaps most clearly with the Karen Taylor-Robeson Kari Lake fight in the governor's race last year, where traditionally a more, call them establishment, call them traditional conservatives, traditional Republicans, neocons in some cases, have had the upper hand in primary elections across the country until Donald Trump came along. And Donald Trump energized a portion of the base that we had not seen turn out in large numbers in primaries ever before. And that has completely shifted the landscape in race after race after race. And what you're seeing now is that that movement is almost certain to continue well past Donald Trump. And the power of that movement is continuing to grow. It is a sea shift, a sea change in Republican support and where the Republican Party is. And it's proving particularly baffling to the Washington talking heads. It's proving infuriating to the leftist commentariat. And it is changing the nature of politics across the country and will do so for many years to come. in folks who continue to fight against, whether you want to call it Trumpism, America First, MAGA, however you want to phrase it, are misunderstanding fundamentally the electoral dynamics that will decide the next 20 years. And that is an unbelievable change. These are folks who are used to having that in their pocket, and then it's gone. It's been taken away. And so it's time for everyone to come to grips with a new future. And we're going to be talking more about that new future when we come back. This is Sam Stone sitting in for Seth Liebson. Back in just a moment. All right. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. This is Sam Stone sitting in for Seth this afternoon. Thank you all for tuning in. Talking a little bit about the Super Tuesday primary election, what happened there, and sort of the sea change in Republican politics and what it means. There's something I think we all need to have an honest conversation about here, folks. Republicans can't win without a united front. This is the one thing Democrats understand that we don't seem to grasp. Democrats will coalesce behind their general election nominee 100%. When we do polling, and folks know I do a lot of campaign electoral work, and when we're looking at polling in general election turnout, one of the things you consistently see is that there are a much larger five times as many Republicans as Democrats who will not align behind our candidate. And there's a lot of questions about that right now. To me, this has always been an unspoken compact. It is the agreement that we have with one another as Republicans who believe in responsible government, who believe in safety and security, the rule of law, strength through peace, all of these things that are important to us, securing the border, addressing our crisis with fentanyl and homelessness in our inner cities, addressing our housing crisis. These things require a serious response from a serious and united people. And yet we fail that test. Too often, folks, we as Republicans fail that test. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today, because these results last night are a continuation of as I said earlier, a sea change in the Republican Party from a more traditional tax-focused, reticent, if you will, party to one that is out front fighting on the social issues, that is trying to achieve a large number of things when it comes to securing the border, when it comes to fighting back against the trans ideology that's overtaking our schools, to CRT and DEI, which are dominating both universities and businesses across this country. There's a great piece today about Google having been just basically gutted by its HR department to the point that employees are scared to work there and feel very uncomfortable. And so with everything that's going on in the country, if Republicans want to push back this tide of illiberal liberalism, we're going to have to stand united shoulder to shoulder. And God love him, but Donald Trump makes that more difficult than it has to be. And so do some of his supporters out there. Folks, you probably, you might be getting a little upset at me if you're hearing this, but here's the thing. So after his victory last night, and after Haley decided to drop out of the race, Joe Biden and Donald Trump each sent messages out to Haley voters to try to entice them into their camp. And Biden's message was, Trump has been terrible to you. Come join me. And Trump's message, and I'm going to read from this here. Biden commended Haley on, quote, speaking the truth about Trump. While Trump touted that he had trounced her in the Super Tuesday Republican contest. In his Truth Social post, Trump added he would further like to invite all the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation and describe Biden as an enemy who is destroying our country. This after Trump had, hit Haley pretty hard throughout this campaign, and in ways that, at times I know people get giddy over these things, but some of those hits were a little bit below the belt. I disagree entirely with Nikki Haley on a lot of things. Folks who listen to my program Breaking Battlegrounds here at Saturdays at 9 a.m. probably understand that I am a more America First Republican. Come from more of a libertarian, small L libertarian background. I believe in small government. I don't believe in foreign interventions and foreign wars. I believe through peace through strength, all those things. My co-host Chuck Warren is an avowed neocon. So we have some good conversations on that program. But the thing of it is, as different as we are politically, we're friends and we're able to work through those issues. And we realize that we agree with each other 95 or maybe it's even 98% of the time. And this is the issue here. Those Haley voters right now who are deciding whether they're going to stay with the Republican Party and vote for Donald Trump or whether they're going to vote, not vote or go vote for Joe Biden have to understand that we still do agree 95%, that 95 to 98% of the things Donald Trump will do in office are things that those people will applaud and be happy about. And if you let mean tweets and you let a more combative version of politics take away the outcomes that you desire and the outcomes that are necessary for the preservation of our republic and the future of this country, then what are you really doing? And I invite all the Haley supporters out there to think very carefully about this, because the compact has been honored by the base, by what now are being termed MAGA or America First Republicans for 30 plus years here in Arizona and across the country. When we lost primaries, we dutifully turned out on behalf of the nominee, the Republican nominee, whether that was John McCain, whether it was Doug Ducey, Jan Brewer, on and on and on, Jeff Flake. And I did a lot of work, by the way, on the ground with FreedomWorks for Jeff Flake. And I wish to heck we had had a different candidate. I'm incredibly disappointed the way he turned out. But if I had to do it all over again and those circumstances being exactly the same in that general election, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have voted. I would have done everything I could just like I did to get him in. And the reason is really simple. I can disagree with Donald Trump some. Perhaps you can too. But we are going to agree, like I said, 95 to 98% of the time. Now, I'd invite you to think about how often you actually agree with Joe Biden. I mean, in terms of the policies that the Biden administration is rolling out, we just had evidence today that over 320,000 people have been illegally flown into this country by Joe Biden to avoid the press and mess at the border so he can sneak these illegal immigrants into the country under the radar, literally under the radar of our citizenry. Think about that. Now think about this. This is a Democrat party that is pursuing blatant lawfare. They are using our Department of Justice, our court system. What happened with Russiagate was massively worse than Watergate. It is one of the greatest scandals in U.S. history. And yet, not one single person has been put on trial. Not one single person has gone to jail. There is no real effort to hold anyone accountable. Is this the country you want to live in? Is a country that has no boundaries, no borders, no laws. I'm working on issues across the country right now. I run into Democrats all the time. They don't want any police in their communities. Is that what you want to live in? I don't. So I want you to think about that as we go to break. We're going to be coming back here with more in just a moment. But this compact is the last thing holding America together. And if we abandon it, if the folks out there who don't like Donald Trump decide that they want to walk away and not support the nominee, we are going to end up in a place of absolute pain and suffering that will destroy the future of this country and of your children and grandchildren. And that is something I do not believe any of us want. And so today, think very hard, take a big swallow, and get behind our nominees. We've got work to do. Sam Stone for Seth Liebson, coming back in just a moment. Politics may be black and white. They shouldn't be. That's actually kind of one of the problems in our republic today, is that we're seeing everything in black and white. The Democrats see color. We see good and bad, evil versus good. There's an awful lot of gray out there that we're perhaps not acknowledging. And, you know, we need a little bit more complexity at times in the system. We need to be able to have more complex discussions. But one of the things that shouldn't be up for discussion is how all of our Republican folks are going to vote out there this November. And I just want to touch on something that happened on MSNBC. And folks, this is what we're up against. So I think it's important to understand what we're dealing with. MSNBC, in the wake of the Super Tuesday results for massive win for Donald Trump, had a guest on here, Tom Schaller. He is the author of White Rural Rage. And he says white rural voters are the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, conspiracy theorist, election deniers, COVID skeptics who don't believe in independent journalism or free speech. And they are white Christian nationalists. And after that tirade, the MSNBC hosts all laughed in agreement. Folks, this is what we're up against. Do you truly think that a nation run by Donald Trump is somehow going to end up in a worse place than a nation run by people like this? This is insanity, okay? First, I doubt this guy knows any of these folks he's disparaging. Anyone who has spent any time in rural America knows that that description is so far afield from the reality of rural America, where people are welcoming, where people do not care what your skin color is or what your religion is or how you worship. They don't care about anything other than the kind of person you are. White rural America, and it's not white, okay? It's every color. Rural America is living the MLK maxim. They are out there right now judging people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, the way Democrats want people to be judged. This is insanity, folks. This is insanity. When we're calling a third of the country white, racist, xenophobic, hate, I mean, all this stuff, what are we doing? I don't hear this coming from the Republican side. I don't hear Republican voters demonizing African Americans. I don't hear them demonizing Latin Americans. I don't hear them demonizing Asian Americans. When you're out there, I'll tell you who we do demonize. Joe Biden and Democrats who keep messing this country up. That's who we demonize. And it has nothing to do with skin color. And it has everything to do with results. Look at the results. Inflation continues to go through the roof. Your paycheck has not caught up. This country, illegal immigration has now brought in enough people that it is more than, it's like one in every 30 people. Think about that, folks. About one in every 30 people in this country is now an illegal immigrant who came here illegally under Joe Biden. We have cities across the country that are on the verge of becoming like these European cities you see, where law enforcement has totally withdrawn from huge swaths of the community. Now, for the folks who think that's a good idea, I'd encourage them to go visit those communities, go walk around them. Actually, I wouldn't. And here's why. Because chances are pretty good that they're going to get robbed, beaten, or killed. Yeah, that's right. These communities without law and order, without the police, without borders, break down into absolute anarchy and chaos, where Sharia law is the dominant law of the land, where everyone, regardless of their religion, is forced to live under the religious edicts of a militant sect. This is apparently what Democrats want. But they also want to turn your boys into girls. They want to convince people that worshiping Satan is better than worshiping God. These things are incomprehensible to the founding fathers of this country. They're incomprehensible to the people of this country for hundreds of years. And now yet here we find ourselves with a Democrat Party for whom this is the new ideal. There is, at the end of the day, an obligation for all of us to stand up and stand together and put aside our differences and stop them. That's what it comes down to. There's no more room. There's no more consideration or question. If you don't like Donald Trump and the mean things he says or the mean tweets he sends, think about whether or not you like the idea of a secure border, of a community that actually has police, of a country where you can afford a house and food on your table and where you can keep the lights on. That's what's at stake. More in just a moment. Well, I started this program by saying I wanted some callers, and now we have them on the line. We're going to get to them here in just a moment. Folks, this is Sam Stone. I'm sitting in for Seth this afternoon, and I do need to apologize to our first caller. We have Dave from Surprise. Dave called in earlier when we had Kim George on the program, but we had a little technical malfunction with the board on this end, and I was not aware he was holding on the line. So, Dave, we are going to get to you right now. Dave, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. America First Dittos from Surprise, Arizona. I think part of the challenge that I see in the landscape politically is some people don't realize it's not Republican versus Democrat, because I'll tell you, I think President Trump is, for the most part, apolitical. It's the establishment class versus we the people.
And that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and you know, the John McCain faction and all the rest of the weak, wimpy Republicans you named, they were never really for we the people. We see it now at the Board of Supervisors meetings. Those people don't want to hear from we the people. I see it at LPC meetings. They don't want to hear from we the people. And I think we're 70% of the population. So if they don't steal it, I think that we can win and we can change the direction of this country. And that's what I pray for every day, sir.
Dave, thank you so much for your comment. I think you're spot on in many respects. I mean, I think one of the things that has held Donald Trump back since 2016, if you remember back in 2016, the networks, because he was drawing such huge ratings, they gave him time. So they could say all these terrible things about him, but then they'd put him on there and people would see him and they liked what they saw. They liked what they heard. And now they were smart from the perspective of folks who want to stop Donald Trump and stop the America First movement. They cut him off. They don't show him. They take his clips out of context. They use it as word salad. They use it against him. They don't give people a chance to hear from Donald Trump directly. And unfortunately, where I think that 70%, Dave, you mentioned, gets a little thrown out of whack, is that there's half the country that does not see or hear from Donald Trump except through the lens of the establishment. And you were absolutely right. Look, there is definitely a uniparty. We've seen this for years. And the uprising now is largely against that. And interestingly enough, I mean, the AOC squad phenomenon, these folks on the left, they are also a manifestation of an uprising against that, just a less coherent one with some really wacky aims. And if you go back to the Tea Party movement, if you go back to Occupy Wall Street, if you go back to the things that are animating the activism across this country on both sides of the aisle right now, a lot of them flow from the same thing. And that is the control of the establishment, the domination, their will to hold on to power at all costs and line their pockets at the cost of the American people. So I think that's a great comment from Dave. We're going to go next here to Frank from Peoria. Frank, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I enjoy Seth Liebman's program. Thank you for having me. I just have a couple of quick points. One is that I don't think very many Republicans voted for Nikki Haley. I don't think President Trump's going to pick up a whole lot of Republicans from Haley. I think Haley won anything that she won because Democrats crossed over and voted for her. So I don't think that – I think it's a little bit misguided to say that Trump was mean to – you know, when he said he trounced her. It was probably one of the greatest defeats in history. I haven't seen any statistics, but in Alabama, he beat her by 85 points. And in some of the other states, he beat her by 60, 70, and 80 points.
There is no question. I mean, you're right. It is an enormous victory. I think there is an element of – there are an element of folks out there, whether – you know, for many of us who are actively involved in the political movement, the niceties – we're past caring about the niceties. But yeah, for a lot of folks, they're not. And so that's where I think we have to be honest with ourselves. That's where I keep wishing Donald Trump would tone down some of the attacks on our side of the aisle. Save them for the Democrats. They deserve them.
I agree with you in general, but the problem is exactly what you were just pointing out, that there's established Republicans that might as well be Democrats, like Mitt Romney. So I think that we have to address that problem if we're going to win anything. And the only way we can win anything and deal with Mitt Romney's and get rid of him is to call him out. And, you know, we can't be nice about it because these people are simply Democrats in Republican coalition. You know, they really are. They vote with Democrats a lot of the time on key issues. They're, you know, very liberal, and you know they're destroying our party because people look at the Republican Party and they say, well, you know, what's the difference between voting between a Democrat and voting for a Republican? I think that we should, though, tailor our message. I agree with you in this, in that we should tailor our message to so that it's palatable to moderates and to independents, because both those and libertarians too, God bless them, as ignorant as they are, because they're just frankly politically ignorant most of the time. And I think you're right about how the tone of the message makes a difference for those three groups. And I think that that's maybe what we should be focusing on as far as, you know, picking up any Nikki Haley Republicans. I don't think there are any.
Frank, I thank you for calling. Those are good points. I think there are some, right? I mean, I think what you have is a certain percentage of the Republican Party that are, you know, essentially Trump. Now, will they continue that? And by the way, while the media wants to focus on these kind of things, a look under the hood at some of the results from yesterday tells a bit of a different story. So, for instance, in Virginia, and I'm just going to pull up the numbers here, but one of the things you're looking for in any election, obviously, is the voter intensity. How much do voters care about that election? And obviously, as we know, by the time these elections happened, the race was basically over on both sides of the aisle. So how many people are going to come out and turn out and vote when the race has already been decided? That's a pretty good indicator of the intensity underlying the election. Virginia, turnout 690,000 Republicans, 345,000 Democrats. That's a very closely, close swing state. So Trump, 130,000 more raw votes than Biden. Nothing else on the ballot. That is a big deal. OK, there is a clear enthusiasm gap with Democrats right now. We saw this with Michigan with their primary, where you had a large number of people just say, we're going to sit it out. And they did. Now, whether that holds, I don't believe in that case it will, because those are far lefties. They're not going to vote for Trump. They're going to come out for Biden. But that voter intensity is going to mean a big part of the difference. The other part is how we do that job of attracting those other three groups we were just talking about. We'll be back with more here in just a moment. This is the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone filling in for Seth. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. This is Sam Stone sitting in for Seth today, folks. Thank you for staying tuned. I know you all tune in to listen to Seth because we all love him. I tune in and listen to Seth also. But if you stuck with me, with my nasally, squeaky voice and all the fun we've had here today, thank you so much for doing that. Really appreciate having you all. To the callers who called in, thank you both. Love talking with you. Kim George, candidate for Arizona Congressional District 1. Want to thank her for taking time from her day to join us today. Folks, I have never before in the history of this country, or my history at least, have felt that we are as close to, you know, I've said many times, I think we are in a cold civil war now, and I've never felt that we are closer to a hot civil war than we are, have been since the actual civil war. It's really incumbent upon all of us to step up and do what we can for this next election cycle. And that means coming together now behind Donald Trump, who's the nominee, pure and simple. Get behind this man, because the difference between this man and any of the Democrats is going to be a gulf so vast you cannot see the other side of it. The difference between this man and Joe Biden, or whoever is running the country, because I think we all know Joe Biden is not running the country. Joe Biden may have the title of president, but he is not the president of the United States. I don't know if it's a committee. I don't know if it's Barack Obama. I don't know who's actually running things, but it is certainly not the dementia guy, the guy with dementia, okay? But what they are doing is absolute insanity. We see this at every level, the destruction of our military, the perversion of the Department of Justice and our legal system. Everything that's going on today is flowing from this ultra-progressive control of the left that is completely anathema to everything you, I, or any patriotic, country-loving, God-loving American could ever conceive. And we are in an existential battle for our future. And that future depends on each and every one of you out there lining and fighting on behalf of our common united principles. And that is what I have asked and will continue to ask every day here. This is what has to happen for the future of your children, your family, your grandchildren, and the many generations to come. I still believe America's best days are ahead of us. The future can be brighter than our past. But to do that, we have to uphold the values that built us, the values that got us here. And Democrats do not want to do that anymore. So I think it is absolutely essential for each and every one of us to look at the future and see the possibility of what can happen if we unite and make sure that we elect this man, Donald Trump, to be the president. Folks, thank you again so much for tuning in. If you're not already, follow my show, Breaking Battlegrounds, at Breaking Battlegrounds or break._battle on Twitter, but you can find it Breaking Battlegrounds on Twitter, breakingbattlegrounds.vote. You can hear it Saturdays, 9 a.m. on the air here. And be sure to tune in every day on the weekdays for Seth. For Seth Leibson, this is Sam Stone. I will see you down the road.
And class is dismissed.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.